Okay. Hello. Welcome to the East Coast Convention. This is the meeting format. It says we start on time and finish on time. Okay. Can we open the meeting with this friendly prayer, please? God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. May we have the reading, I guess at the podium, it should be there. The press statement.
Is it the social media one?
It says press statement. One in there. No, it says press. Press.
Statement of member regarding the press. As our legislation says, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity and level of press reading and film. The primary purpose of the public relations effort is to tell the story of narcotics anonymous and what our program offers to the still suffering athletes. Members of the press are sometimes attracted to our cadets when we welcome their interest. However, we do not disclose our last names as identifiable members of Narcotics Anonymous. A member of the press approaches you, please direct me to the chair or vice chair of the convention. Statement to the media. If any members of the media are present, we ask you to contact the chair or vice chair of the convention for information.
Okay, can we have the social media statement, please?
My name is Karina. I'm an addict. The widespread use of social media networking and social media by our fellowship indicates that these forums are resources that can serve to facilitate greater communication and interaction among Narcotics Anonymous members. With that being said, some of our members may not want to be depicted in photos on social media platforms. Please be mindful of this and get permission from members if you intend to post their photos on any type of social media.
Thank you. Can we have the clarity statement, please?
I'm Joe. I'm an addict. Clarity statement. At NA meetings, we introduce ourselves as addicts. When members introduce themselves as addicts and alcoholics, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that somehow one drug is separate from the rest, requiring special recognition. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive in reference to the disease of addiction, allowing us to focus on our similarities and not our differences.
Thanks, Dale.
May we have the reading of Who's an Addict, please?
I'm an addict. Name Eric.
Hello.
Who's an addict? Most of us have asked the question. You know. Life and taking the standard of drugs from one form or another. Maybe even using to find ways and means to get to live and use for living. Very simply, an addict is a mere one in life controlled by drugs. With people and their drift of continual and progressive illness, the events are always the same. Jails and institutions of death.
Thank you, Larry.
Reading of Why Are We Here, please?
That's why I'm here. Dave, I'm an addict.
I'm Dave.
Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be capable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide, but addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or somehow through medicine, religion, psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick, sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point. Recovery is then possible.
Thank you. This is the point where we introduce our first speaker. We're going to have Jim B. from Brownsville There's a Place group.
Go to the first third.
Come on, that me, Jim.
Jim.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up. I'm an acting Jim. We're asking me to come here and share on no matter what. That's the topic, and I'll try to do that. No matter what, my clean date is October 2nd, 1989, and no matter what, I have not chosen to go back out and try it again. For the people who have come in to the rooms in our hearts and all this, who gave me hope. I often think about, when I come in, I heard excuses and everything on, see people go back out on excuses and stuff. And I also seen a lady who stuck around, and she had the biggest excuse to leave. I watch her, her husband beat the hell out of her and everything, and he ended up dying, then she got some money and some gigolo that got hold of her, and took off her money and left, and then she had a place that caught on fire and burnt down and everything there. And, that's just a lot of bad stuff. And eventually her daughter, who was an addict also, ended up committing suicide. And I sat there and I watched this lady. She was early in her recovery as I was at the time. And the thing about it is, I watched her. And the thing she did was she kept coming back to meetings. And she cried and talked about it, cried and talked about it, cried and talked about it. People were getting kind of pissed off about it and everything because they got tired of hearing her. But she had to do what she had to do in order not to use. And she got over that and everything. She didn't pick up. So, that sort of knocked all the excuses out for me for having to use and everything. But if she could stay clean through all that stuff she went through, then I have no excuse. So I always say, there's no excuse. If I use, it's because I wanted to use. I'm fortunate, I ran into a lot of good people in the rooms of Parks and Rec, so they could help. Helped me to grow and to stay focused on staying clean and stuff. I have gotten involved in the into service and everything, and that's a few as I say, I've been doing service work at H&I since probably a couple of years in, and I still do it. And everything, and one of the things that, one of the things about this here East Coast Convention that helps the prisons and stuff, get their basic tax to people. Like I said, I've been doing that SCI thing in Fayette probably since 2004. I still go in there. No matter what, I still go in there. foot of snow or whatever, I can still go in there and everything. The reason I go in there is that I go in because these guys are pretty, you know, I think it might be rough because I thought it was, you know, I was like, holy cow, I never went to prison or anything, or I didn't do nothing, you know. I put it like this, I never got caught. I never got caught. So it's more like going in there, you know, was a little shaky at first. But, you know, after meeting guys and everything, and then some of these guys were serious about, you know, recovery. You know, what you got to watch people grow in the process. You know, maybe come in, didn't say nothing, you know, and did things like that there. And then all of a sudden, something clicked for them, and they start sharing and getting involved. Because we had, you know, we had people do different things in that prison. They would share, you know, and pass out new literature and all this other stuff. You know, and they start sharing this stuff. But in the process of seeing people coming out and staying clean, they're still clean today and everything. And they've got, you know, got a life today. They're doing things, you know. A few of them got their own businesses and everything. They've got very successful paths and everything. So no matter what, I keep going to SCI and everything because of these people who have gotten out and everything and have lived life. I mean, you know, become productive members of society. I sat there and, you know, I went through some health issues and stuff. I had a stroke back in 2016. And I'm fortunate, you know. I could have said, you know, gave up on everything and said, you know, no, you know, I'm not going to, you know, the hell with this shit. I had people bring meetings into me. I couldn't move. I could not move my arms or my legs and stuff at that time. And I'm fortunate that eventually a lot of that stuff came back. You know, I still have some telltale things of it and everything, but, you know, I don't move as fast as I used to. I don't really move too fast anymore. Anyways, you know, I did have that, you know, and you know, that's still was grateful for the program and my products and all this, because people came in, brought meetings into me and stuff, and I was grateful that I was still moving, you know, a little bit anyways, and I did the therapy and I learned how to walk and how to move my hands and stuff. So, yeah. And the thing about it, too, is I had a friend who passed away, right after. In fact, I sponsored that person, and they ended up passing away because they had a show. But, you know, I had these illnesses, you know, I had that going on, I ended up losing my wife. She passed away. She had heart disease and kidney disease, and she ended up passing away in 2017. And it was kind of hard to deal with. And I could throw my arm up in the air and say, you know what? I helped this bullshit. I could have went out and got high. And my wife is dead. Woe is me. Woe is me. Oh, it did work on me. But here's the thing. And me coming back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and learning what I need to do, you know, instead of picking up the phone, you know, work some steps and everything, guess what? I didn't have to use. So I ended up picking up the phone. And I ended up going up to Southern California. I have a friend out there who's in the rooms and everything. And I went out there. I took a train ride. A few people knew what Palmville was at.
it's quite a distance. But I took that train ride just from there to Southern Cal, and just to get myself together, because I was having a hard time dealing with my wife. A lot of that stuff, he let me have the use of his house and stuff, and took me around, showed me around. You know, he invited me out. He said, "Hey, Jim, you can come out here and try to get yourself together." And that's what I did. I went out there, and I spent a week out there, And fortunate, I was happened to be whenever, let me see, back in July 22, 2017, my college nominees were celebrating their anniversary and everything, and it was a great time, where my Carter's nominees started, and I always remember this guy, Sherry, he'd helped a lot of people in his life, sponsored people, involved ball games, socialists, and all that. And the guy was speaking. He was the main speaker at this convention, this anniversary. Somewhere during the week, or the week before, he had a mental breakdown. he was going to, he was in a shopping center and he couldn't leave the shopping center. He had called his daughter up to come get him out of the shopping center because he was scared. And, he had this thing going on that he was scared just to be around stuff. Around people, whatever. And the thing about it is, and this is another thing, excuses, there's no excuse. And this guy had that there, he had that commitment. He did that commitment and everything. He came there and spoke at that there anniversary. But he told people, hey, I'm scared. I may get up here and run. Anyways, in the water there. Anyways, the man talked, and there was this new girl. She was there just for the first time, and everything. And she was crying. She's getting ready to get up and leave. And he told her, "Don't you go nowhere, because you're helping keeping me here." So she stayed there, calmed down. She stayed the whole time, and he ended up finishing what he was saying. And he's talking about, the time he had, a bunch of time and stuff, and said, "Hey, our disease attacked us in many different ways, and this is one of the ways that it attacked him and stuff." So no matter what, he did what he had to do. And he didn't use. And he did his commitment. And that was an eye-opener for me, there you go, no excuse. No excuse. Here's a guy that got all kind of stuff going on and everything, and yet he sat here to fulfill his commitment and didn't go get high. So, yeah. As I mentioned, my wife passed away. See, I had all this stuff. My friend helped me out and everything. I come back home, it was a lot better and everything. I still deal with some of that stuff, but it's not as bad as what it was. And in 2021, my son passed away. He ended up catching the COVID, get the COVID, then got the other, stuff that happens with that stuff. And he ended up passing away and all that. So, but like I said, I could have said, the hell with all this stuff. And I didn't.
Maybe I've got a lot of people I used up from. That's what I did. I used up from what I was talking in the parts and all this. I used up from don't pick up, go to meetings, and all that stuff. I do remember a time before all this stuff happened. I think I got 20 years, and I wanted to go get high. Someone just mentioned, hey, so-and-so, they're going to be watching a football game, and you want to come over? And I remember that, because we got high and everything, you know, that's what we did. And it's like, I started obsessing on that stuff. And it got so bad that, you know, I just wanted to use. The thing about it is, I did use. I used, but I was caught in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I made phone calls, talked to people, you know, cried and everything, you know. I remember going to SCI Greensburg, going in there. I saw boo-hooing in there, and I don't know what was going on. Hey, I wanted to use, and I don't want to use, you know. And the guys, you know, comfort me and all that stuff, you know. And you know, eventually, as someone always say, hey, this too shall pass. Well, it did. I didn't use. I used the phone, what I was taught. The things I was taught in NA, I used and everything. And it did pass. I got over it. I was able to go cut about 20-year corners. So, yeah. There are things that does happen. Life situations do happen. Some of it's bad. But guess what? I don't have to use. I use what I was taught here. Pick up the phone. Use the steps. What step do I need to work here? Always the first step. For me, anyway, it's always the first step. Then I turn it over to the bottom of my understanding and stuff. And then they, hey, maybe I got to do a third step. What part did I play in this? And everything, you know. And then try to take care of what I could take care of, and the rest of it just deal with it. And that's what I try to do. Because early on too, also I ended up going almost into I did go into bankruptcy and everything because I didn't want to pay my taxes and, you know, and some other things that were going on, and all of a sudden all that stuff caught up to me and everything. And then I retired early, and I was collecting some money, and they decided that, oh, we gave you too much, so they wanted their money back. Now here I am, I gotta pay this debt that I do owe. Now I got to pay these people, and it's like, what the hell am I going to do? I prayed about it, you know. Something came through, you know. I said, God, I'm understanding, talk to me and everything. Hey, get up off your ass and do something. I did. I worked. And I went back to work and everything until the debts were paid off and everything. I did what I had to do. Until everything was taken care of. Well, I could have said to hell with all this shit. And it was very easy to say that, because that's what I do. So, but yeah. No matter what, we do not have to use. One thing we use this program. We go to meetings and learn I go to meetings to learn how to live about the use of drugs. And through other people's actions on staying clean and doing what they need to do, guess what? I stay clean. So, I'm mainly putting the steps into my life. That's the main thing, putting the steps into my life. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't have much else to say about all that. What is going on with no matter what, don't use. Use the program.
Yeah, that's what I try to do.
Okay, we'd like to introduce the second speaker, which is Patty. And I don't remember your home group.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not going to sit in a chair with wheels. That could be a problem. Hey, everybody. My name's Patty Kay, and I'm from Fort Myers, Florida. My home group is the Women Do Recover in the South Florida region. And, back in the burg. So, speaking on the no matter what, I think it's best to kind of let you know like a little bit of backstory. It's so good to be back in Pittsburgh because I sound like everybody else, you know. So I was born here, and after high school I went to Florida and I just stayed. You know, I went for spring break. I called my mom and I said I wasn't coming home, and I didn't. You know, and so but you know before I left. I grew up in a life of active addiction. You know, my parents did the best they could. That was what they were, but, you know, it was the life I grew up in. So, when I was 11, I got loaded for the first time. When I was 13, I got arrested for the first time. When I was 15, I was dancing on tables, closing bars, and just living large, you know. And at one time, when I was 15, I got high, and I never missed one day until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So when I make a commitment, I make it, and I stick with it. Didn't even know, but, you know, as I reflect back, steps are a beautiful thing. Never missed a day. There was something, somehow, every single day I used. Sometimes it was getting high. Sometimes it was getting different. Sometimes it was getting the edge off. Sometimes it was just getting, you know, but I used. And so, I landed in Florida, and, it was... 78, and then I worked into the, went into the 80s, and, that was, back in the day, and I hung out at the beach, I went surfing, I worked on boats, and that whole Miami Vice show, back in the 80s, that stuff's real, and as long as I didn't know any names, I got tipped real well, you know? I put on a bathing suit and kept it on for 20 years, seriously. And so I thought I had arrived, and that's why I'm here today, because I did, So I never knew anybody that got clean. My story is I always skated. Anytime I was arrested or anything, I just fell through the cracks. Anytime there was a bust, I just missed it. Anytime there was an accident, I just left. Anytime I just, I kept my head above water. And because of the environment I worked in, I got up in the morning, I got loaded, I went to work. Sometime around lunchtime, you had to take a little edge off. And then afterwards, it was always 5:30 somewhere, So as long as I showed up, nobody cared, I didn't know anybody that didn't use. I didn't know anybody that tried to get clean, and I certainly don't know anybody that stayed clean. My opinion at that point was what was the point? What was the point? So, all those things that I said I would absolutely never do, how we say that? Well, at least I'm not that bad. Right. At least I'm not like that. At least I'm, I was. And all those things I said I would never do, I won't do this, And just those little lines kept getting blurred. And then the next thing, my life got to, that realization of how did I get here? How did this happen? How did I get here? I don't even know how I got to that point, but I did. So, I see all these God incidences in my life and, through the process of sticking and staying, and getting with the program and working the program as it's written, which it's a 12-step fellowship. I do the 12 steps continuously, and more will be revealed. I can see all these different spiritual awakenings in my life. And that last day, I looked in the mirror. I had been up for days, and I didn't recognize the person looking back at me. My eyes were sunken. My skin was gray. Again, how did I get here? I couldn't even beg anybody to be with me. I was so alone. And like the last 9 years, it kept just going darker and darker and colder and colder. And the people I circled myself with were people I never would have associated with. And how did I get here? So again, not knowing nothing from nothing, I started making phone calls, and I ended up, you know, through a, you know, a variety of phone calls, I ended up with a helpline number for AA and NA. And I looked at both of them, and I told myself, alcohol's one of my drugs, I'm going to call NA. Now, back when I got clean, you didn't actually get a person, you got a beeper service, you know, and they said they would get back with, you know, so it just, I'm waiting for a phone call from somebody to just call, and hopefully, you know, they didn't have call waiting, it just, you know, you picked up the phone, and it's like, oh, you know. But anyhow, this chick from the helpline in Narcotics Anonymous called me back, and, you know, most of the time when you're on the helpline, people want to know where a meeting is, or they need a meeting for their husband, their kid, or, so, you know, and, you know, it's never for, you know, somebody that is just, you know, just a hot mess and just can't get a grip. So she told me where there was a meeting at noon that day, asked me if I could make it, and I said, okay, you know, and she kind of talked me off the cliff a little bit. I was on the phone with her for like an hour. So, you know, that morning I had flushed everything. Well, I flushed the bad stuff. I didn't flush everything because I still had to take the edge off to get to that first meeting, you know. I don't know what edge I had, but I found an edge. And so I got to that noon meeting, and it was at a church in Hollywood, Florida. That's where I got clean in the South Broward area. And there was those ladies working the little thrift store, and I think they could recognize, you know, us when we walked in. They pointed to the stairs, and, you know, I went up to the meeting. And so I get to this meeting, and there's like a circle of chairs, you know, and people were all talking and, you know, cutting up, or, you know, how we do when we get to a meeting. And so I sat down. I wasn't going to sit in the circle with you people, you know, but I sat down. And, of course, I'm falling apart again. You know, I'm like, I'm trying to get it together, and I am falling apart. So I go over to the, you know, the literature table that we have in all the meetings, and I start fluffing through the papers. I don't even care. I'm just looking at them, like, trying to, you know, trying to get it together. And somebody comes up with a handful of tissue and a white book, and they says, here, you never have to leave me, never alone. You never have to be alone again. N.A., never alone. That clicked. That clicked. So he showed me how to, you know, follow along the readings in the white book, and if I would sit down, and I said, sure. Wasn't sitting in the circle. I didn't want to get too close to you people, but I sat down. And you know what? You know, after that meeting, they all circled up, and they hugged and everything, and I felt something. I hadn't felt anything in a real long time. My life had gotten black and white. My life had gotten good or bad, but I felt something, and it felt good. You know, so a couple of the gals after that meeting, you know, sat and talked with me for a little while, and, you know, must have been really, you know, one of my better moments and everything, and they just listened to me. They talked with me, they gave me their phone numbers, and they said there was a meeting that same church, 7:30 that night, could I come back? So I did. I came back, and I don't remember a thing about that meeting other than, at the end of the meeting, they're handed out chips. They asked if anybody wanted to pick up a white chip and come join this way of life. And I was pushed out of my seat, and there was a whole lot of hands that got me to the front, and I got this white chip, and everybody clapped. And guess what? I felt something again. It felt good. And you know, that white chip was September 6, 1995. I still have a little piece of paper stapled to that, and I've never taken it off. And that's when No Matter What started, you know? And No Matter What, it's really hard. I didn't get to go to, I wasn't incarcerated. I didn't go to get treatment. I didn't have, you know, what is this, drug replacement or anything. I was loaded at my first meeting. I had been up for days. And my second meeting, I was crashing. And I was crashing, and I showed up. And, you know, my journey started. You know, I met my first meeting, well, my first sponsor at that second meeting, and a couple of women that are still in my life today. And they told me again and again, the repeated messages that we hear when we first get there, go to meetings, don't use No Matter What, get a sponsor, actually call your sponsor. If you're not calling a sponsor, you don't have a sponsor. Start working the steps. Steps start with one. They don't start with nine, they don't start with 12. It starts with one. And, you know, and show up. And so I did. I showed up. And you know what? It helped that a few people took me hostage, but I showed up. And, You know, getting clean and kicking in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I had to lean on people so I wouldn't fall off my chair. I came in and I draped myself over the table, you know, but I showed up. I showed up every single day. They said 90 and 90. I probably did 100 and something or other, you know. And Hollywood, Florida, had a whole bunch of meetings. It was a really big fellowship when I got clean. So between Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami, you know, a 20-mile stretch, I had a whole lot of opportunity from 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. No excuses, get to a meeting, and I did, you know? And, you know, I didn't have anybody to answer to. I wasn't in a relationship at the time. I worked for myself. I was a freelance artist. I was a gal that sat on the back of the boat painting. And so I called my own shots. I didn't have to answer to anybody. And if I couldn't get it together to go to work, I just didn't. You know, I showed up the next day. And then as far as getting to the meetings, you know, I still had stuff. I didn't lose everything. I still had a vehicle. It was a 20-year-old van that leaked from the top. The AC was when I wound down the windows and, you know, and it ran, you know? I still had it going on. I had a lot better than a lot of friends I was in circle with. I still had my apartment. I was always a month behind, but you know what? That's why you pay first, last, and security, you know? So I was still on it, right? I didn't hawk my jewelry because I slept with my dealer. You know, I figured that was being efficient. And, you know, and so I thought I was, you know, it was like, you know, what some people said, oh, you had a high bottom. Bottom's bottom. It's just geography, you know. And so I showed up. But I was too wrecked to even think about using. I mean, the whole kicking and getting clean thing, like, was all consuming. And part of that was sitting on my knees, rubbing that white chip, which they told me to do, rub that white chip until the letters fall off, and then we'll give you another one, you know, just to rub it, you know, and wait for 5 minutes. Can I wait for 5 minutes until another meeting happened? Can I wait till, you know, it got, the sun came up so I could get to a meeting? You know, can I just do this? And it's like, keep it in really small baby steps. And I didn't use no matter what. And then, you know what? One day, it just hit me. I felt awake. I didn't feel like a truck hit me. I didn't feel my hair growing. I didn't feel like somebody cracked me with a 2x4, and I started feeling good. And that's when the trouble starts to begin, because then the mind starts working. I was about 6 months clean, don't know, there wasn't any big thing, but I was going out. I got the money in my purse. I know what I was going to use. I know how I was going to use. I know the effect I was going down with. And I was answering the phone like, what? And, you know, people in my support group, you know, were trying to talk to me. And it's like, you know, go to meetings with those people, you know. And I still showed up. I was on a lump. I didn't pick up my six-month chip. I just showed up because I wasn't ready to give it up. And then one day, through a series of events, you know, that shift changed. And, you know, it changed because it was, again, another layer of people, places, and things. It was easy to give up my people, places, and things when I got here, because everything I had was about active addiction. I didn't have anybody left. But the people I started running with in the first 6 months were the people who were in and out. It was the Gucci meetings. What are you doing afterwards? They're getting dressed up, you know, getting dressed, you know, who's doing who and who's going what, and the in and outs. I didn't have any solid support. So how am I going to build on my recovery with no foundation? And I almost used out for that. You know what? And at 6 months, I started making some choices. And part of that was I would scan the room, seeing who was solid. You're going to be my new best friend, and I would stalk you out. And some of those people were still in my life. They were good, solid people. I can't build this house of recovery on my own. And they helped me with the steps 1, 2, and 3 block work of my recovery process. And so, you know, that worked. That was going, and that was doing. And, you know, I was about 18 months clean when I got a phone call. And that's when, you know, like those reservations of, you know, what if, I got hit with a life experience. When I was out using, you know, my first husband, spent about 15 years with the guy, and I left, not because I quit loving him, because the abuse was so bad, one of us was going out, and I couldn't live with that. So I left. And so I was still married to the guy, you know, like what we do, we just leave. You know, it doesn't, what Lou says, I don't know, we just leave. And so I got that phone call. He had died in a motorcycle accident. I still owned a house. I had to plan a funeral for a person I hadn't even seen in a year, and I hadn't lived with in 3 years. And at that point, I wasn't working my program. My program started working me. And my first thought was vodka. Second thought was cigarette. I hadn't smoked in 7 years. Third thought was call my then boyfriend and call my sponsor. They came on, they latched onto me, and I had to take care of business. I went out to the house. I still had keys. And like all the guys in my life prior to recovery, we're all two-bit dealers. I had to get rid of the dope. We had 9 loaded weapons and all the insanity that goes with it. And I had to walk into basically my fourth step. I walked into my fourth step, and I didn't use no matter what. And at one point, going through that house, had a handful of pills in my hand. And I was looking at them, and I didn't know what they were, and I was looking it up and everything. Of course, at that point, we didn't have Google. We had, you know, physician's desk reference. And so I'm scanning, you know, what's it going to do? Am I going up? Am I going down? And am I, you know, going to numb? And didn't matter. I put the pill back in, and I put it on the shelf. Didn't even think about it. My disease wasn't here. It was behind me with its hands around my neck. And I didn't use no matter what, because somebody asked me at a meeting, how are you doing? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm hanging. And then I told them about that. And they're like, well, did you call your sponsor? Yeah, didn't occur to me to do that. Does your boyfriend know? No, didn't tell a soul. Didn't tell anybody, sick as their secrets. That could have taken me out. And you know what? They came with me. I flushed that stuff and rinsed out the bottle. You know, flushed it and rinsed out the bottle. Done. You know, no matter what, it comes in a lot of forms. And, you know, after that, my boyfriend and I decided we really need to take a break. So we were going to go to the convention in Daytona, but on the way, let's go up to North Carolina. We have some family up there. Let's go up to the mountains. Let's get a little vacation and, you know, and then go back. Well, on the way out, we hit a guardrail at 80 up in Daytona and ripped the entire driver's side off the car. Spun the car, hit the other side. Didn't have a scratch on either one of us except for a little mark in between here where the airbags hit me. And he had a mark on his arm where the seatbelt rubbed across and when it took the side of the, you know, the driver's side of the car off. Everything was on the highway and we didn't use no matter what. And the first thing we did was, well, of course I called my sponsor to tell her to get the car payment out of the mailbox. Why pay for a car I don't have? And I said, we're going to get a rental car and come home. And she goes, you're going to get your ass to a meeting. And we did. We found a meeting. And, you know, I really didn't want to talk to him, but I was okay seeing you guys. We found a meeting in Daytona and just laid it on the table. And that's what we do. If we don't share the exact nature, no matter what, sick as our secrets, we're going to go out. And I joined the No Matter What Club, and I'm a proud member. I have a little sign at the house, and I'm not willing to give it up. You know, I stapled that piece of paper to that white chip. You know, I'm not willing to give that up. And so, you know, I'm about 5 years clean, and we had the opportunity to move to the west coast of Florida. So, you know, that's all well and good, but at that time, we're closing everything else down. We found a house in Fort Myers, Florida, didn't know a soul, and I'm pregnant. We got to sell the house, buy a house. I'm pregnant. We're doing meetings over there. We're living on both coasts. I have to find a doctor. I don't even know where the hospital is. Now, Fort Myers, back in 2000, had one meeting a day. The next meeting was 50 miles away. I got spoiled getting clean on, you know, in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Hollywood. Going over there, I got grateful real quick. It wasn't like, which meeting are you going to? Are you going to the meeting? Everybody was the home group. Fort Myers, that was Lee County, that was the home group, you know? And we grew. We plugged in, we grew, and everybody loved us. You know, we found service, and that's, you know, part of my story. You know, at 2 weeks clean, I was asked to show up at area service for literature. I couldn't even speak in whole sentences, but they asked me if I could count to 10. I can count to 10. I had a job. At 30 days clean, I pulled a commitment at a convention, the South Florida Regional Convention. I turned 30 days clean at that convention, and I pulled a shift in hospitality, and I've had a service commitment ever since. You give and you receive, and if you don't give, you're an NA thief, you know, and that's what was taught to me early on. Those things I learned the first month, that stuff has stuck with me, and I give. And I know that, you know, that universal law, the more you give, the more you get. And I don't give to get, but it just works out that way, and I live an abundant life. And, you know, so we move. We end up having, you know, I was pregnant at 43 and 45, you know? And so here I am, you know, moving to an area. I don't know anybody. My husband's working 12-hour days. My cell phone doesn't work, and I have nobody. I'm by myself. And I had to learn real quick the difference of what I am as to who I am. And what I am is I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm you know, a mother, I'm a sponsor, but who I am, you know, when everything is just ripped bare from you, you know, I'm a woman of, you know, with integrity. I'm creative, I'm caring, I'm compassionate, and I had to learn that, and that was real hard. And by myself, all day long, in the middle of, it was two cow pastures, make a left. Seriously. It's like, I, you know, I didn't even speak the language, you know? And they were pretty much like, we get her done here, you know? And I'm thinking, what am I doing in this place? And I love it. I absolutely love it. And, but, you know, it's like when we have dramatic change, addicts as a rule don't like change. We're super creative. We're, you know, some of the ways and means I listen to from you guys, you're genius. But, you know, a little bit of change, I mean, we're a hot mess. And so I stuck and stayed. And I latched on, and I plugged in there. And these beautiful people in the Gulf Coast area loved us until we could find a home there and really feel like, you know, like we belonged, you know, grow in roots. And it's still real easy for me to go to Fort Lauderdale and Miami, but guess what? It's just real easy for me to come up here to Pittsburgh, too. I spent the entire week with people that I knew the first third of my life, and I'm not sure what that's all about, but... it's just been an amazing experience, you know? And one of the things that happened was, you know, I get a phone call at one point, they're Baker-acting my mother, and then they're shipping her down here because the family didn't want to be bothered with her anymore. So they shipped her down to Fort Lauderdale with me, and, you know, I was able to take care of my mom, and then she moved over to Fort Myers before she had passed. Now, this is a woman that didn't even make my first aid step. You know, and thank goodness I stayed clean long enough and worked the steps enough in depth to realize this woman deserved an amends. And I was clean long enough to make that amends and held her hand till she made her last breath. No regrets. No regrets. And you never know what recovery is going to get you. But if you don't stick around, you're never going to, you know, you're never going to see, you know. And so, you know, fast forward a little bit, 12 years ago, the recession hit. You know, and we're in construction, we had our own business, and talk about, you know, being hit with a baseball bat, the bottom fell out of our life. I mean, we lost just about everything. And we were able to rob Peter to pay Paul. We kept the house, we kept the kids, we kept our relationship when we kept our license. But more than anything, we kept our clean time because it was fragile. It was bad. And, you know, there was, you know, the gentleman, thank you very much for sharing, Jim, but you had mentioned, you know, bankruptcy, you know, that was, you know, right with the first wave of, you know, that recession hit, we were able to sell stuff. I never pawned my jewelry in active addiction. I'm pawning it in recovery, you know, and kept the electric on and, you know, made the mortgage payments and, you know, put shoes on the kids. And then 2 years later was like the second wave in our area and we couldn't do it anymore, you know, because people weren't paying us. And if you don't get paid, you can't pay anybody else, you know. And it wasn't intentional, but it just happened. And they came in my house, and they looked in my cupboards, they looked in my drawers, they went, you know, they went and put a value to everything. It was humiliating to me because I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't a scumbag. I did everything right. It was circumstances, and I was left holding the bag, and I didn't use it no matter what. You know, no matter what, sometimes really sucks, and I didn't, you know, and I didn't. And the most recent was... I'm sure you guys heard on the news about 9 months ago, we were ground zero for Hurricane Ian. You know, my entire community was underwater. My house missed getting flooded by two houses. You know, needed a roof, needed a fence, needed this. You know, we were without water, we were without electricity. We were, you know, I took about, you know, the first day I took a bath from the bucket of water I gathered out of the front of the house, sifted it through a t-shirt, and took a sponge bath out of it. We were flushing the toilets with buckets of water and, you know, but in the big scheme of it, I was glamping. I had a gas grill. I had a generator. You know, I had food. I had neighbors. And we all, you know, came together as a community. But more than anything, the next day, NA community showed up at our doorstep with gas, with water, and we went around to our people and you know, being of service kept us clean, you know? And some of the people in my community, like, I was inconvenienced. In the big picture, we were all affected, but I was inconvenienced. Some people in my community were completely devastated. I mean, lost everything except for the shirts on their back, literally. And we're still recovering, you know? It's going to take a long time, and things are going to be different. But our NA community, they showed up a week after dragging a barbecue grill and like 30 pounds of this and 20 pounds of this and ice and diapers and formula, and just we shouted out to anybody in the NA community, but then we gave to all of our community, just like the 12-step shout tells us. In all areas of our life, we were able to share. And one of our predecessors, one of the things, the messages that I received early on is, you may be the only basic text that somebody gets to hear, and that's always stuck with me. So it's not how you doing, but how you living. And this is some of those examples of how you living, and you step outside yourself and you stay clean just another day, you know. We got creative real early, you know, and COVID taught us about Zoom. But you know, when you don't have internet, you don't have electricity, that doesn't work. But we found ourselves, just like we found the dope, we found a little bit of a community. You know, when the cell towers were kind of hit or miss, we're going to be here this day, and we found a way to have a meeting, and we stayed clean. Do you need anything? Can I help? Do you need a place to be? We stay clean no matter what. And I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, I don't know what's going to go on in my life. You know, like aging and recovery, the aging in general is kind of overrated, but aging and recovery, you know, it ain't for sissies, you know? And sometimes, you know, you can understand, you know, like mother's little helpers are taking the edge off. It makes sense. I just don't. You know, and, you know, we've got a little bit of medical going on in our family, you know, and I'm not sure what's going to go on with my husband. And, you know, we're just showing up and we're doing what we're doing. But I can see there's a little, you know, a little piece of him that's missing a little bit more every, you know, every week, every month. There's just a little bit more fading. And so, you know what we're doing? We're showing up the best we can. We're living life. We're staying clean no matter what. And we're doing it together. And I love the, you know, be the we is the, you know, the theme of this, you know, this this convention. And that just is so apparent to me, the we. I sure can't do it by myself. I know, like, I'm pretty independent and I'm pretty resourceful and I can do a whole lot of whatever. But, you know, it gets exhausting. And sometimes my best thinking, well, again, we're all here today, right? You know, we get that, you know, our best thinking. But you know what? I don't have to, I choose not to, and I don't. I don't use no matter what, and so I'm just really glad I'm here today, and I'm glad to see all of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay. Could we have the reading of We Do Recover?
I'm Bob Mack. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you. May we have the reading of the third step statement, please?
I'm an addict named Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Our third step. Any of us have said,
take my will and my life. I'm in my recovery.
Show me how to live. Right. Thank you. Thank you all.
All right.